This is Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
So we're about to speak to Michael Cheshire, who's going to tell us about the bail justice system. He himself is a retired bail justice, I believe. He sent us a letter to the editor, and we thought we'd get him on to have a chat about it. Michael, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Mitchell, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you very much. I myself am single, so it's just any other day, but good on those people that are celebrating it.
Yes, good.
I was just talking to our producer before, and he said that his partner doesn't believe in Valentine's Day, so he's sort of got off the hook.
Oh, I see, yeah. Well, yeah, it's optional, I guess.
Yeah, for those that believe in it, good on you. Now, you yourself are a retired bail justice, is that right?
Yes, I am, and I've been practising bail hearings for about 35 years, and they introduced bail justices after a response from the Royal Victorian Association of Honorary Justices, that's the Association for Justices of the Peace, around 1990 when we wanted to have mandatory training, because before that the only training that happened was done by the Association in concert with the magistrates, and the government of the day decided they would have mandatory training and created bail justices. So that's why we have this unique name of a bail justice, where anywhere else around the country, somebody who does bail hearings would be a justice of the peace.
Now, is the bail justice position entirely voluntary?
Well, yes, and I say that from the perspective that there is a very small honorarium to help cover costs, which in the country hardly does that. We have somewhere, I think that we get an honorarium per call out, up to 16 per annum, and the average across the board would be one a week. So you can imagine if there's 52 call outs in a year, you're way behind, and the amount that you get is somewhere under $200, I think, in total that they would give you. So it's hardly a payment for doing it. Let me put it this way. Magistrates are paid $291,000 a year, so I think there's a bit of a gap between us.
That's true.
They're virtually honorary, you know.
Yeah. Now, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, the position of bail justice has been copping a bit of criticism over the last couple of weeks, mainly led by the government, but I suppose after what happened in Melbourne, a shocking situation. And the government's, I suppose, talking about reforms to the bail system that would involve having more magistrates rather than bail justices. In your letter to the editor that you've written, you're against that.
Well, yes. It's very much a matter of if it's not broke, why fix it? There's no question that this particular person who was put out on bail then did this terrible crime, that was a one-off from a bail justice point of view, and it doesn't hold true if you look at the figures across the board between bail justices actually remand into custody 86% of everyone that comes before them. And the magistrates actually only do about 18% people are remanded. So if you want to have people remanded into custody more often, you would use a bail justice, you wouldn't use a magistrate. But that's on the figures that come out, which are recorded by government and department, you see. So it's important to recognise that certainly I would support the Premier in having a review, because I think reviews are good from time to time, and there's been a little while since we've had a review of, you know, the particular benchmarks for why somebody should either be remanded or given bail.
Yeah.
It's important to say, well, you know, at what particular flagging thing do you say, no, this person should not be given their freedom to be on the streets because they are at risk, not only to the public, but also to those who might be witnesses or whatever else. They just don't warrant being released. But on the same basis, you've got a situation which has been created now that the magistrates are only working a night court until 9 p.m. at night. Well, if there's no bail justices to operate between 9 o'clock at night and in the morning at some stage when the magistrate court opens at 10 a.m, that means that somebody who should have their freedom doesn't have the opportunity to go before an independent person to see if they should have their bail, because it's only fair and reasonable in a democratic country that somebody has the right to that. So we have a balance here between, as I said, it's important to have a review, which is happening, and I think it's important that we find also somewhere between the fact that somebody either gets bail or they get remanded. There's something in between where people are breaching bail, that is, they either commit a crime or they're not holding on to a curfew that they've been given when they've been given bail, that they won't be out roaming the streets at night. And these are some of the particular things that are given to people if they've got bail. They get conditions, you see, and they agree to those conditions. Now, if they breach that bail, there should be some consequence that's put into place so that they know that they just can't keep breaking bail and getting bail again. You see?
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point. I think you've made a lot of really good points in there in terms of saying what the guidelines have to be as to when you would remand someone in custody.
That's the main point of this whole exercise, I think. And as I said, I think it's good that we at least have a chance to have a review of it. And I know that there'll be a lot of bail justices. In fact, Justice of the Peace will, in fact, be putting submissions in to His Honour Paul Coghlan.
The state opposition says that the bail system is, I think they said, fundamentally broken, so they're pretty pessimistic about it. And I think Daniel Andrews has sort of echoed those comments. That's why he's called for a review. I suppose the bail system has to align with community expectations. Like, for example, this case that we saw in Melbourne, I suppose it would be community expectation that person would have been remanded in custody because there were so many violent crimes associated with what took place. And obviously, there's still things before the courts and all that sort of thing. But I suppose community expectation was out of step with what actually took place.
Well, that is a fair comment, and I might say that one must look at the actual case. We don't have the details of what was presented to that bail justice to see whether they get remanded or not. Let me point out, though, that this balance there's an imbalance between what magistrates are doing and what bail justices are doing, because you've got to remember that the person who murdered and raped Jill Maher and was involved in the Batty thing, they were both people who were out on bail by magistrates. Now, I'm sure there's many more, and there was a reaction, naturally enough, from the community about those cases. But, you know, this is the first case that's come to public attention at all with a bail justice that's released somebody, and it could have been an error in judgment, and these things happen. But let's not get away from what needs to happen to solve the problem. And to solve the problem, what we need is to set up a system which is a guide, a better guide, to both magistrates and bail justices so they operate and know when you should be remanding someone so these things don't happen in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. I mean, what sort of guidelines do bail justices have to go by now? You know, is it really set into the law, or is there a lot of discretion to that individual person as to whether they are remanded in custody or released?
Both magistrates and bail justices operate under the same system for bail, and there's some freedom, if you like, in working out some of this thing. And I just think that it's time in this review to say, now let's make guidelines a bit more stringent. Let's make it tighter for people who are more likely to continue. You see, the parts of the bail issue is that the person who gets bail is entering a contract not to commit another crime, not to upset or attack witnesses, and simply behave themselves. That's virtually what it is until their court case comes up. Now, if you're going to break that bail, or you're not likely to keep, if the evidence shows from previous cases they may have been found guilty of, that you would say that it's not likely they're going to do that, it's an automatic thing, I would say, that they should be remanded into custody.
Obviously, we have to have that freedom that you were talking about, and I suppose also that presumption of innocence, which is important for the legal system. But the state opposition has said that they would assume that under the reforms which might occur, that there should be this sort of presumption of being remanded in custody for very violent offences, that, you know, the presumption shouldn't be that they'll be released on bail unless circumstances go otherwise, that the default position should be that they're remanded in custody. Do you think that is, one, within community expectation, and two, something that we should be looking at?
Well, that's the very thing that I'm pointing out, and my colleagues agree with what's going on with this. And it's simply a matter of bringing close together. We, in years gone by, actually sat on magistrate court benches with the magistrate to learn some of these systems. And we had a great working relationship, and perhaps some of that should come back. I might say that we have training sessions where the chief magistrate and indeed Supreme Court judges come and talk to us about bail. And so there is a close relationship. But I think we need to get something down more on paper to say what sort of things do not allow people to get bail. I mean, there's some obvious ones. Obviously, if somebody commits a murder, somebody is a very violent crime, that's very straightforward in the bail justice and the magistrate's point of view. But it's those ones that aren't sort of set in concrete at the moment need a bit more guideline, so that people understand, you know, you've got to tick boxes to get them on bail, if you like.
And final question, other than the fact that bail justices, according to you, tend to remand people in custody more than magistrates, what are the other selling points of having bail justices in the system rather than having magistrates doing it 24 hours?
Well, there's a few things about it. Generally, the bail justice is someone who lives in the local area and has a better idea of what's happening in the local area. That's one. The bail justice will travel further. We had last year, there was a bail justice who travelled from Horsham to Ballarat to do a bail hearing. That's 400 kilometres out of their pocket in petrol, let alone time, to have a bail hearing. They're available throughout the whole of the state. And, of course, the big thing is that at the moment, the magistrates have only agreed to do it till 9 o'clock at night, and you've got to remember they're going to be paid for this on a rate that they're paid $291,000 a year. So that's a very high cost. Mm. And when you consider that the bail justice is doing a job, which is, you know, bail justice have been operating as well as JPs, which are the same people only under a different name, for 100 years or more, you know, of doing this work. And we, in fact, are the ones that indicated that we had to have mandatory training, and that has come into place. And there's a very stringent training and testing course for people to become bail justices. In fact, it's quite a difficult thing to get through. In fact, we have psychological tests to see that we're suited to it. So, you know, it's quite a severe professional test that's done not only by trainers, but by people. There are people who are magistrates and that and come in and do testing with us as well. So it's a very stringent thing. There's no question on training and the ability of the people to do the job. And as I said, they're available 24/7. They turn out at all hours of the day and night. And that can't be done when you're paying people because, first of all, it's costly. And I mean, they can find money to do that perhaps. But the main thing is that they don't wish to work throughout the night.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, Michael, thank you very much for being with us. You've really made the case for bail justices very well, and we really appreciate you giving us that other side of the story.
Thank you, Mitchell. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Michael Cheshire there, who wrote a letter to the editor to us and other people telling us about that, and we thought we'd get him on to have a chat. And that's what we do. If you want to write to us at The Pulse, we're more than happy to have a chat and hear all points of view, because that's what community radio is fundamentally about.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.